Pump Mart,
and Ackerman True Value and Supply in Beloit, Crowley's Family Health Mart in Smith Center, and by Meyer Tire on Highway 18 in Lincoln. It's going to be a royal blue spring with KD Country 94 and the Kansas City Royals. Well, baseball's around the corner. Opening day, April 3rd, for the defending World Series champion Kansas City Royals, and a guy that is a huge Royals fan, actually he's more of a Cubs fan, but he's also a big college basketball fan, is the national play-by-play voice for Westwood One, calling all the tournament action this year in the Final Four and the championship game down in Houston, Kevin Kugler. Kevin, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to make sure, I want to get this out of the way right off the bat. You were not the person that leaked the bracket before it was officially revealed last night, right?
I never get an early bracket. It was not me. I do not have that kind of pull. I am not employed by CBS or by the NCAA, so I have no access to that kind of stuff. So I've got an excellent alibi. When you don't have availability to, or access to the bracket, you cannot ever be accused of leaking the bracket. So no, that was not me.
Okay, good, good. Now, what did you think about the two-hour-long selection show last night?
That's obvious. I mean, it was an attempt to stretch something that doesn't need to be stretched. Okay. And look, we all want more programming as broadcasters, more opportunity to sell spots, more opportunity to have something that people are interested in watching. That's all well and good, but at some point, this is still a bracket release. It is not. I mean, look, we're a nation that's turned the NFL schedule into a major moment. We release that for hours at a time. But you're talking 32 teams, you're talking 16 games, you're talking a lot of stuff moving on and moving parts in that. This is one bracket for one tournament. I think you can probably get it done in an hour's worth of time and still have time to get content in and advertising in and everything else. So I don't make programming decisions, but if it were me making a programming decision, I would cut that show a little bit.
What I think I would have done is keep it like they did before, where the first half hour, you get to the brackets, okay? You reveal the brackets, and then if you want to have Charles Barkley play on a touch tone screen and Kenny Smith, Seth Davis, all those guys, that's fine. You can do that for the next half hour, 45 minutes, hour, hour and a half, make it a two-hour show, but at least don't go an hour into the show and we haven't seen half of the bracket.
Right, and allow me the opportunity then to let your guys, you know, I want to hear what these guys have to say about the bracket then, if that's the case. Yeah, I agree with you. Get the bracket out, let the teams know, let the coaches know, let the fans know where they're going to go, how they're going to try to have to get to these places, and then break down the bracket if you want to over the next hour. I understand why they try to do it, so they can hold people through, because they know once the bracket is out,
right,
people are going to start turning away from their program. So I get why they do it. I just wish they would do it a different way.
Well, let's start with the Kansas Jayhawks. They are number one overall seed. They're going to go to the South. I think that surprised some people that they're going to the South, and they'll be in Louisville for the regional round if they get through the first two games up at Des Moines. And Michigan State's number two seed, but then they'll have the opportunity to be in the Midwest. Did that surprise you a little bit? To me, it's not that huge of a deal. I think as a KU fan, you'd sit here and go, I'd rather have Villanova in my bracket than Michigan State, so it might be a blessing going to the South instead of the Midwest. Did you see what the committee maybe was trying to do there?
Yeah, I do. I think if you're a Kansas fan, you ought to be delighted with this bracket. I mean, look, you have a Villanova team that I think is a very strong number two seed, but I don't think they're the strongest number two seed. I think that's Michigan State. You have a number three seed in your bracket in Miami that has its ups and downs. The four seed Cal is extremely talented. You've probably got two first-round picks on that team, but they're also wildly inconsistent, and that's your four seed. The trend you'll notice in this bracket is a lot of inconsistent teams are the teams below Kansas. Maryland as a five seed might be one of the 10 most talented teams in all of college basketball, but wildly inconsistent. They have a matchup problem at every position, yet there are times where they look like they are just an abysmal team. If I'm a Kansas fan, I'm delighted with the South Regional. I'm thrilled to go to Des Moines this weekend, knowing that I don't have to worry about Indiana and Kentucky on the other side of the bracket in Des Moines this weekend. This is a perfect spot for a Kansas team that Bill Self has playing terrific basketball right now, has them peaking at the right time, and has them in a very, very winnable region. That's, to me, the South region is as easy a paved road until you get to the Villanova matchup for Kansas as there would be in any other bracket. They should be thrilled.
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what I've been thinking. Their KU fans are freaking out when the bracket came out, and there's a lot of national guys talking about how Kansas, number one overall seed, has landmines everywhere with their bracket. And I did what you did. I looked at it, and I'm like, well, I'd rather play Villanova than, say, Xavier or Michigan State or Oklahoma. I would rather play Miami instead of Texas A&M or West Virginia again. I'd rather play California than Kentucky. And the one team stands out to me is what you mentioned, Maryland. You don't know what you're going to get there. And I think there's some people freaking out because UConn is a number 9 seed. And UConn, yeah, had a great run in their tournament. But we got to remember what tournament it was. And if not for a lucky shot, they wouldn't even be here.
No, you're exactly right. Look, this is not one. I don't see the landmines. I've heard the same conversation. And I guess you could. I guess the way you twist that is, if any one of these inconsistent teams plays a consistent game, mm-hmm. then yes, they can win a game. And that's absolutely true. But the reason that they're inconsistent is why they're a 4 or 5 or a 6 seed, because you don't know what you're going to get from minute to minute in a game with this. And you point out the 4 seed Kentucky. Of all the 4 seeds, Cal's really talented but inconsistent. Kentucky is wildly talented, and they appear to be starting to play up to their expectations at this point. You don't want to see them right away. Iowa State, you're not going to see because you had conference matchups with them. And then there's Duke as the other 4 seed. Now, would you trade Duke for Cal? I wouldn't.
No,
if I'm a 4 seed fan, if I'm a Kansas fan,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and go, well, I'll swap you Cal for Duke. Not a chance. Cal is not used to this stage, as Duke is extremely used to being on the big stage. I don't want to see them as a 4 seed. Give me Cal as my 4 seed. I'll take my chances that their young talent is going to shrink a little bit on the stage and shrink a little bit in the face of that Kansas defense. I think that's going to cause them problems.
I agree with 110%. Kevin Kugler's with us, the national play-by-play voice with the NCAA tournament. You can hear him. Westwood won the Final Four in Houston championship game as well, and of course many Jayhawk fans hoping KU will be there. The only problem with KU going to Louisville possibly is that a lot of KU fans, everybody said they're going to the Midwest, so people got tickets for Chicago, and now they're trying to unload those tickets already. So that happens to you, I guess. I guess you got to wait till the bracket officially comes out. What was the biggest surprise to you in regards to a team that got in and a team that didn't get in but you think should be in?
Well, I echo the sentiments of a lot of people with Monmouth. I feel bad for those kids and for that program. They did what everybody told them they had to do, go out, schedule tough in the non-conference season, and then they did that, and then they won those games. And I feel bad for those kids that they're now on the outside looking in on this. I thought that was the one team that you looked at. Tulsa getting in is a head-scratcher. They did nothing, and that one surprises me a little bit. Michigan getting in is not a surprise to me, but it does illustrate the fact that if they had not beaten Indiana in the Big Ten tournament, then we would not be talking about the Michigan Wolverines at this point in the NCAA tournament. They'd be an NIT team. But, you know, you can nitpick this bracket every single year. You're talking 68 teams that are getting selected to play in the NCAA tournament, and to me, I'm just... those are nitpicky things. You can also nitpick seed. You can question whether Michigan State should have been a 2 or a 1. But I think at the end of the day, you're really just sort of sifting through the sand to find something to complain about. And by the time Thursday comes around, we'll all be excited for the games and we won't be worried about those brackets anymore. I think for the most part, these guys did a fair job putting this thing together. I do think that the East Regional is overwhelmingly stacked. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for North Carolina, because you've got Indiana, you've got Kentucky, you've got Notre Dame. And to me, the team that nobody wants to play is in that region in West Virginia. I cannot imagine on short prep trying to get ready to play what West Virginia does defensively and what Bob Huggins has. You know, I know you guys saw them all year long.
Mm-hmm.
They're a nightmare. They're a nightmare to match up with. They're a nightmare to prepare for on short prep. No, thank you. That would be my response to anybody do you want to play West Virginia? No, thank you. Not on short prep. I don't want to play them. And that's a very, very sneaky 3 seed in that East Regional.
What team do you think was underseeded?
There were a couple that I was a little surprised that Seton Hall was a 6, considering their body of work and what they'd done down the stretch and what they did winning the Big East tournament. I was a little surprised to see Seton Hall come in as a 6 seed, not to the point where I was gnashing teeth and rending garments, but I was a little bit surprised that they were a 6 seed in that. And I thought Michigan State, even as a 2, was a little bit underseeded. I thought they earned a 1 their biggest problems came when Denzel Valentine was on the bench in the middle of the season with the injury. I think now that he's back, I think they're among the top two or three teams in the country, and I was surprised to see that they did not get a number one seed. So they're underseeded by one, in my opinion. But from a seeding standpoint, you know, there's a lot of teams in that middle that are just sort of in a giant basket of, well, this could be a three, this could be a nine. I mean, you never know exactly where these teams should sift into play. And for me, it's, you know, is Wisconsin a seven? Is Wisconsin a nine? Is Wisconsin a five? Well, they're a seven, and that's probably a good enough fit for me. And I feel that way about a lot of these teams, you know. Is a difference of one or two notches going to make a big difference in my mind in this tournament? Probably not.
Oregon State as a seven surprised me a little bit. I didn't think they'd be that high, but in the end, like you said, you could probably lump all those together and be very similar teams. So let's go through the regions, Kevin. Let's start in the South. Kansas, the number one seed. Number two seed, as I mentioned, Villanova. Three seed is Miami of Florida. Four seed, of course, Cal. Five, Maryland. Six, Arizona. And there's that very, I would call it a very sexy matchup tomorrow night. Vanderbilt and Wichita State in the first four, and Dayton at 8-10 in the evening. Your thoughts on that bracket as a whole?
You know, I would agree with you on that first four matchup, too. I really kind of like the idea of Vandy and Wichita State. I had Vandy earlier in the season, and I think they can be a challenge. And we know what Wichita State can do, especially defensively. Now, can they score enough consistently to string some wins together in this tournament? I'm not sure. But it'll be interesting. I think it's an interesting matchup to start. That South region, though, like I said, there's so much inconsistency behind Kansas that I find myself struggling to pick anyone other than Kansas. I will say this, though. Do not be at all surprised to see Kansas's Elite Eight matchup be the Arizona Wildcats. I love them as a six seed in that lower end of the bracket. They're deep. They're talented. They're well coached. Don't be, and they're from the Pac-12, so half the country doesn't even know that they exist most of the year. To me, Arizona is a team that it would not surprise me at all in an inconsistent bracket to come out of that bracket. I love what Jay Wright's team at Villanova has, but if you're looking for an upset, I don't mind that six seed Arizona down there.
Well, yeah, you've covered the Big Ten, of course. What about Iowa? I mean, they're a team that was playing so well, and now they've really hit the skids, but yet, you know, they're capable, and if they could refine whatever was, figure out what's ailing them towards the end of the season, could that be a really tough out for Villanova in the second round?
Yeah, it could be. Here's my concern with Iowa is that this is exactly what happened last year. They melted down at the end of the year. They weren't able to get anything done, and they kind of whimpered out of the tournament. I just don't know that when you lose it, you can get it back right away. And Iowa appears to have lost it. They have two terrific players, Jared Uthoff and Peter Jok, who can carry a team for a while, but they tried to do that in the Big Ten tournament against Illinois, and even with those two guys, there wasn't anybody else helping. They need a third complementary 10 to 12 point per game score, and they're not getting it from Woodbury in the middle. They're not getting it from Gazelle at the point guard spot. They're just not getting it right now. And without that complementary third guy, I don't know that Iowa has enough firepower to go too far in this tournament.
Okay, so are you picking Kansas out of the South then?
I am thinking, I do have Kansas out of the South, yeah. I think Kansas is by far, in that region, the most consistent team on both sides of the ball.
Okay, so let's move to the West, because the West will be paired with the South in the Final Four in Houston. Oregon, number one seed. Some were surprised by that. You got Oregon as a one, a two seed is Oklahoma. Three seed Texas A&M, four seed is Duke, Baylor the five, Texas sitting there as a six. Your thoughts on the West?
I love Oregon. I love their team. I love what Dane Altman's doing with this team. I think they're talented. I think they cause you problems from a defensive standpoint because he's not afraid to press you. I think they cause you problems from an offensive standpoint because he is playing a little more wide open offense and he's got the talent to play that system. But how can you not, in the back of your mind, just a little bit, root for a Kansas-Oklahoma rematch in the Final Four?
That would be something.
There would be so much discussion about Buddy Hield, and deservedly so. I mean, even Kansas fans have to, and I don't even think they do it grudgingly, because Kansas fans love the great basketball. You have to tip your cap to this kid. He's fantastic. And we saw it in that classic game. Well, we've seen it all year. Kid plays with a smile on his face. He's not a showboater. He's not a loud talker. He's not a smack talker. He just goes out, plays the game in with great verve, great passion, great excitement. I love watching him play, and I'm afraid I'm going to be biased when I'm making my picks, biasing one player over a team. But I, you know, selfishly, it would be a fun matchup to see with Kansas playing Oklahoma in that Final Four. I do think Oregon, though, is just, I really, really think they've hit their stride, and I'm probably taking them out of that region with Oklahoma a close and somewhat sentimental second.
The team that I'm interested in your thoughts on Northern Iowa, because Northern Iowa has been a little bit like Iowa in regards to inconsistent, although Northern Iowa's kind of had more ups and downs. You know, they beat North Carolina, beat Iowa State, they beat Wichita State twice, and that's no small feat, because I think Wichita State is very, very good with their guards with Van Fleet and Baker. And then they get a good bounce to win the tournament and punch their bid into the tourney. And then they get Texas, who's been scuffling towards the end of the year and struggling. And then, I know a lot of people like Texas A&M, but Northern Iowa, I think there's a very dangerous 11 seed in that pod.
I would agree with that from the standpoint of if you're telling me they're going to hit shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they aren't going to hit shots, they're not going to win too much in this tournament. Their bigs are not big. They're undersized bigs. And so you run into anybody with size, and Texas is one of those teams that's going to cause them problems with their size and athleticism. If you run into anybody with size, Northern Iowa, I think, is going to have a little bit of a problem. Now, if Northern Iowa hits shots, they can beat anybody that they'll run into in the first couple of rounds of this tournament. So I'm with you. I like that team. That's one that I've kind of had my eye on as a potential upset from a seed standpoint. But I struggle with their size and ability to control a game from that standpoint when they get deeper into this tournament.
Okay, let's move to – so you're taking Oregon out of the West and Kansas out of the South, so Mr. Chalk.
Bold predictions here.
Yeah.
2-1 going through.
Mr. Chalk himself, Kevin Kugler. All right, let's move to the East, North Carolina. It looks like they've put some things together after struggling early in the year. Marcus Paige starting to find his shot maybe just at the right time. North Carolina the 1. Xavier the number 2 seed. Number 3, West Virginia. You talked about them earlier. Kentucky. It seems like a dangerous 4. I think some people are sleeping on Indiana as a 5 seed, and then Notre Dame, the 6 seed. Your thoughts on the East?
I would not be at all surprised for an East regional final of Kentucky and West Virginia. I think Kentucky has found what ailed them early in the year. Their talent is starting to really gel together. I think Coach Cal is as successful as he's been, I think he's an underrated coach. Because the guy can really coach. You don't just take a bunch of great players, plop them on the floor, and go, all right, go win us championships. You actually have to do stuff with them. And you have to massage egos. You have to massage talent, rotation. I think he's done a fantastic job over the years doing that. I think he's got it going again. And then West Virginia, like I mentioned earlier, is one of those teams that I do not want to see in a tournament setting. As far as sleeping on Indiana, here are my concerns with Indiana. They are a team that does not seem to have whatever that it factor is. They defend a little bit better now that they don't have James Blackman since early January when he went down. But I don't know if they're going to be able to put enough together to overcome what Kentucky's going to be able to do to limit Yogi Ferrell, because Kentucky can match up with Yogi Ferrell. There aren't too many teams in college basketball that can match Yogi Ferrell. Kentucky can match Yogi Ferrell. And if you take Yogi Ferrell away from Indiana or limit Yogi Ferrell's effectiveness to not only score but to get the team into the offense, and I think Kentucky can do that to a certain degree, then I think you're going to have problems advancing if you're Indiana, because they go as Yogi Ferrell goes. I mean, there's a lot of terrific talent on that team, but if Yogi Ferrell doesn't get it rolling, they're not going to go very far. And I think Kentucky is a terrible matchup for them from that standpoint, because Kentucky can absolutely handle Yogi Ferrell better than maybe 4 or 5 other teams in the country. I mean, they're just perfectly equipped to handle the talent that Indiana brings.
And Tyler Ulis is a very special player, point guard for Kentucky. Yes. So what about North Carolina there? You think Kentucky's going to get by Carolina then?
Here's the key for Carolina, and I think Tar Heel fans have to be very encouraged by the fact that Marcus Paige was starting to look like he was coming out of what had been about a month-long slump over the weekend. He did a really good job in the ACC championship game. He hit some key shots. He defends extremely well. I am very eager for a North Carolina-Kentucky matchup in the Sweet 16, because I think that will go down as one of the epic games. I just am not convinced that Kentucky's talent isn't a little bit better in some key spots. Now, I will say this. Roy Williams has maybe one of his three most talented North Carolina teams. So I'm not going to say that they're not going to get that done. But because I've gone chalk in the other two regions that we've talked about, I don't feel like I can go one here because, you know, are we really going to get four ones? I don't think we are. So I'm probably leaning towards Kentucky winning a head-to-head over North Carolina, if nothing else, just because I feel like I need to not have a third one come through there.
So you got Kentucky coming out of that region over West Virginia?
No, you know what? I do have that, but that one's a hard one for me because I do think West Virginia is a tough team to play, especially on that short prep. But I do think I'm leaning Kentucky coming out of there and getting to the Final Four.
Okay, and then the fourth region is the Midwest region. Virginia, the number one seed, Michigan State the two. Virginia has to love Michigan State being in their bracket again. The number two seed is Michigan State. Three seeds, Utah. Four seed, Iowa State. Five seed, Purdue. And the sixth seed is Seton Hall. Gonzaga sitting there as a number 11 seed. Your thoughts on the Midwest?
Well, it's interesting because Gonzaga obviously doesn't get in if they don't win their conference tournament. We can tell that by the seed. So, fortunately for them, there they are. But they've got a tough matchup with that Seton Hall team. Touched on them a little bit earlier. But they're athletic. They're big enough up front to be able to have solid post play. Isaiah Whitehead, Kadeem Carrington in the backcourt are tremendous, and Whitehead is just a special player. And if people haven't seen much of Seton Hall play this year, you're going to want to check that game out in Denver on Thursday, because if they've got anything left in the tank, and that's my only question with Seton Hall right now, is did they expend all of their emotional energy in winning a conference that they hadn't won since 1993? You see that a lot. Teams that are a 5 or a 6 seed that worked their way through and won the conference tournament use so much energy and emotion that they just don't have a whole lot left when they get to the tournament. And I hope that's not the case, because on paper, I think that's one of the better first-round games of the entire week. But out of that region, I love Michigan State. And keep an eye on the top half of that bracket on the number 5 seed, Purdue. There's something about this Purdue team. With the size that they have and the style that they play under Matt Painter, I really think they're going to cause problems for Iowa State. I think they're going to cause problems for Virginia, because they're not going to be afraid to play a slower, lower-scoring game like Virginia likes to play. Matt Painter's not going to be – they're not going to balk at that if they get a chance to match up with those guys in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. They're just not going to balk at that, because they'll feed the post. They'll play inside out. They can go and bang you inside with Hammond. Then they bring Haas off the bench. Swanigan's out there at 6'9". They're a tough, tough matchup. Keep an eye on Purdue. If you're looking for a team to sneak out of that bracket from a lower seed standpoint, Purdue would not at all surprise me to be the team that makes it to the Sweet 16 and then gets past Virginia into the Elite Eight.
So you got Michigan State coming out of the Midwest?
I do have Michigan State coming out. And Denzel Valentine, the key. I mean, he is playing basketball at a higher level than almost anybody in the game right now. And how can you sleep on Tom Izzo at this time of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's uncanny. Every year, the Spartans find themselves playing great ball in March, and Tom Izzo is a big reason why. And he has a guy on his roster that he told me and he told others reminds him in so many ways of how Magic used to run the team for Michigan State in the late 70s. And that's a ridiculous praise coming from a coach like Tom Izzo. So I know it's true, because he's not somebody who's just going to throw out those kind of comparisons every single year. Michigan State, to me, is the team that comes out of it.
Okay, so you got Michigan State versus Kentucky, and you've got Kansas against Oregon. Who wins your final four games?
How great would those matchups be?
They'd be awesome.
Can you imagine those games?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited just even thinking about that. I like Michigan State to come out on the one side, and I like Kansas to come out on the other side. And I like Kansas to win it all. And I'm not just saying that because I'm speaking with you. I think Kansas is the team to beat right now. I think that Kansas-Michigan State game could be an epic battle, but I would give Kansas the edge.
Okay. Double-digit upset special. Who's a double-digit seed that you think has a real good chance of winning a first-round game?
All right, double-digit upset specials. We always start with the 5-12s, because it seems like every year you've got a 5-12 matchup that, you know, you could maybe put your thoughts on. And I know you said don't sleep on Indiana. Don't sleep on Chattanooga. Do not sleep on Chattanooga. That's a team that, if Indiana is not ready,
could provide a double-digit seed upset in this. I look at Gonzaga Seton Hall. Would that really be? I know it's a double-digit seed upset, mm-hmm, yeah. But would anybody be surprised if Gonzaga beat a Seton Hall team that expended a giant amount of energy just to get through the Big East tournament and get to this point and win themselves a championship? That's another one that you look at and you say, huh, maybe they could pull off that upset as well. That would not surprise me from a double-digit seed standpoint, although I don't consider that one to be the upset on the level of Chattanooga beating Indiana.
Kevin Kugler, the voice of the NCAA Tournament, the Final Four, National Championship game for Westwood One, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Okay, so I usually do an off-the-wall question, but with you, I think it's only appropriate. I'll steal this from my buddy, and he's allowed me. He told me I have permission to steal it because he stole it from another radio guy years ago. So, you know, when you steal something from somebody, it's just flattery. It's not thievery, I guess, in radio. And that's my buddy Seren up at 810 WHB in Kansas City. And so he has a Final Four segment. So since we're talking Final Four, here's four Final Four questions for you, but they're a little bit off the wall. Okay, you ready?
All right, let's do it.
Best game you have ever called, and I know you've called various sports, so it's not just college basketball. What's the best game you've ever called in regards to just exciting? You couldn't believe you're a part of it, so forth and so on.
It's hard to top my first Final Four when the Chalmers shot. That was up there. And I'd also throw into the mix this past season in the playoffs, Arizona and Green Bay in the National Football League. That was just ridiculous. And that was one of those games you walked away from it knowing that you'd been a part of something special.
You've dealt with a lot of coaches over the years. Who's the coach that's the most quotable or the best quote, I guess I should say?
Coach Cal is one of the ones that you can always go and get something good from. If you need 5 minutes to fill an interview and you have access to him, Coach Calipari is about as easy an interview as there gets. With Tom Izzo, a very, very close second. They're obviously different personalities, but both of those guys are tremendous interviews.
Have you ever been confused for somebody else, and if so, who?
No, I never have. I must have one of those faces that nobody ever recognizes, or they just don't want to stare too long at it. It's like looking in the sun, you'll go blind. So no, I've never been confused with anyone else.
Somebody told me the other day, they said, "Yeah, Wade, you have a face for radio and a voice for TV." And I didn't know how to quite take that. I don't know if you've ever heard that one before. You've done both, so maybe you could explain it to me. And then finally, have you ever, we started the interview asking if you leaked the information last night. We've established that you were not the leak for the tournament bracket, but have you ever leaked top secret information to anyone?
I've never actually been given access to top secret information because, you know, as we all do as folks who at one point went through J school or were journalists in training or, you know, people who like to be in the know, if we have the information, we like to disseminate said information. And so most people don't give me the information because they're not so sure I wouldn't just spread it to the masses. So, no, I've never leaked top secret information, mainly because I never have access to top secret information.
And finally, where are you headed for the first couple of rounds? What's your itinerary for before you get to the Final Four in Houston? Where do you go?
I will be in Denver, which is a nice little stop to be in. We've got that Seton Hall Gonzaga game. We've got Utah and Fresno State, and then we also I'm all choked up about it. Then also have Purdue and Little Rock and Iowa State and Iona, and then I'm off to Anaheim.
Awesome. Well, hey, you do a great job, man, and I'm so glad you take the time to talk with us. It's cool to continue our tradition. We're usually the first ones you talk to break down the bracket, and then that allows you time to change your picks later in the week. So we're not going to hold you to your picks unless you get them absolutely correct. How's that sound?
Yeah, if it's all right, then these are the picks I'm sticking with. If I'm wrong, then I've changed them at some point since you and I spoke.
Absolutely. Hey, Kevin, we appreciate the time. Best of luck and continued success, man.
Good to be back on with you. Thanks.
Kevin Kugler with us, Westwood One, our guest on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs.